Srimad Bhagavatam class. Hare Krishna. So today we are supposed to discuss about the Leela of Ajamil, the glory of the Holy Name. So the background of the story is like this. Ajamil was the son of a Brahmin and his father was a great devotee of the Lord. His father trained him in a very wonderful Krishna conscious manner. All his childhood he was trained into Krishna consciousness. Very wonderful culture was given to him by his parents, his father. He grew up and he got married to a very wonderful devotee, Mataji. And they were living a very beautiful Krishna conscious pious life. You can say they were kind of settled in their Krishna conscious life. But all of us should know that material world is a very dangerous place. And how Maya will attack us at which moment, nobody can predict. So unless somebody is on proper understanding of this danger, and unless somebody is trained well how to tackle unexpected attacks of Maya, then usually one succumbs. One falls prey to the attacks of Maya. So one day he was going to forest to bring some wood for household purposes. And when he was coming back, he saw a man doing something with a prostitute on the road. And that scene struck in his mind such a hard way, that he just couldn't forget it. It's like wherever our antenna is, you know, AsiaSat or USASat or whatever, those vibrations are absorbed immediately, wherever our antenna is open. So when senses are open like that, they perceive everything that is available without any sensor. So that time, obviously, Ajamil was off guard. He was not very much careful. He was unaware. He was innocently unaware. But the result was that he was totally captured by the activity in the scene which he saw on the way. And even though he left that scene and went home, he carried that scene in the heart in the form of contemplation, meditation and memory. And it just made him totally restless. First what happens? First there is contact with the object of sense gratification. First there is contact. If at that point you leave and do not do anything, you are safe. But then it doesn't stop there. Then you think about it. Then you contemplate. Then you meditate. Then you plan. And then you go ahead for the action. And then you get entangled. And then you cannot come out. At the point of your contact, it is like top of the mountain. Still safe. You can still save yourself. But after that, everything is like going down with high speed. Increasingly high speed. So next step, more high speed. Next step, more high speed. Next step, much high speed. So Ajamil was so restless that he just couldn't control himself. Constantly the thought was hunting him of that prostitute. So he went back, searched the prostitute and proposed her for marriage. And she was a very foreign lady. For the business purpose he accepted. Brought the prostitute home. He got married with her. And naturally, he couldn't have two wives at home. So he kicked his wife away. Such a chaste, such a wonderful, devoted lady. But it is said that kama turanam na bhayam na lachya. Somebody gets enamored by sex desire. He doesn't have any fear and doesn't have any shame also. you just guess off these two wonderful characteristics of a cultured human being, that he has a fear to perform a sinful activity, and he has also shame, he has embarrassment if it only thinks about wrong things. Even if he's thinking of wrong thing, he suddenly watches here and there, anybody watching me thinking of all these things also. That is culture. But when one becomes completely overwhelmed with sex desire, then nothing comes in between. No shame. It is said that Shakuntala actually one time ran in the forest to meet her beloved. And then when she met her beloved said that, do you know from where you have run? You have run through a forest infested with tigers and lions and horrible animals. But she was so enamored by the attraction of the beloved that she was not affected by any of these things. So such is the sex drive. It completely drives us mad and takes the sensible self out of the whole activity. The sensibility, the intelligence, the satsang, vivek, buddhi, rational intelligence, everything is destroyed. That is why Bhagavad Gita says that sex desire is ultimate dreadful enemy of the soul. Mahashano, mahapapa. The ultimate, most destructive enemy of the soul is sex desire. The only thing which binds the spirit soul in the repeated cycles of birth and death, of the cycles of perpetual suffering, unlimitedly, from which he cannot come out, that is sex desire. The attraction between the opposite sex. And time immemorial, we have been bound with this. The root cause of sex desire is forgetfulness of God and rebellion and disobedience to God. When that happens, this haunts. When Krishna consciousness is intact, it stays at outskirts. It doesn't attack you. When Krishna consciousness becomes weak, it's already standing there waiting. It's like the hen is taking her babies. 6-7 babies are walking around it. The eagle or the kite is always haunting, going around. As soon as the one baby gets little away from the mother, immediately kite attacks and takes the baby away. So the baby's protection is hen's wings or hen's protection. As soon as the baby is away from the hen, immediately kite is there, constantly waiting. So one should not assume that now I am enough established in Krishna consciousness. Now I don't have to worry. Now I am so strong. I have enough strength in Krishna consciousness. So nothing of these things can attack me. But Krishna says, Daiviyeshi gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Duratyaya is my energy, my material energy is so powerful that no living entity at its best can ever imagine that it can contract or be, you know, defeat the material energy of the Lord. It's impossible. It is Krishna energy. In one sense, it is not different from Krishna. Krishna is so powerful, unlimitedly. So also, his external energy is also powerful. And no living entity can ever imagine that I will be not influenced by that. Unarmed and unprotected by Krishna's mercy, I will be able to conquer. It is illusion actually. So however, whole life from childhood till youth, till his married life, he was cultivating Krishna consciousness. But he was off guard immediately by attack. And he was not having association that time. He was totally off guard. And he took association of that situation of activity which was happening between the prostitute and the young man. And he took so much association that he couldn't just think anything else of it. We don't think of Krishna so much, you know. When we are told, when we are coached, when we are preached regularly, think of Krishna. We don't think of Krishna in such an overwhelming way. When it comes sense gratification, we are usually overwhelmed. When it comes to eating some fancy item, when it comes to dressing up some wonderful dress, or when it comes to decorating oneself, or when it comes to have some property, gain some money, we are so absorbed. It is said that living entity is always absorbed, but mostly into Maya. It takes great energy for the living entity to get completely absorbed in Krishna. And fortunately is that soul who can learn, who is learned, learn it to get absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That is why Haridas Thakur also was tempted by a prostitute. Not only prostitute, Mahamaya herself came personified. First the prostitute came, sent by Ramchandra Puri, Ramchandra Khan. But later on, Maya Devi herself with all her charms came to attract him. But because he was completely absorbed in the holy name, he was not touched by them. In fact, they became devotees. Maya Devi became the disciple of Haridas Thakur. Maya Devi couldn't tempt him. Because then Krishna says second line, Mam evai prapadyante maya mitam tarantite. If someone takes shelter of the Lord, then Maya cannot touch. So, there is a solution. But a conditioned soul usually fails to take the solution and loves to be under the influence of Maya. That's why it's called as fallible. It's called as patanashil. Patanashil means always about to fall. Only in the company of devotees we don't fall. But we are outside the company of devotees, we take risk and we are always fallible. We can fall down. So he brings home, see, it doesn't remain like that. He was overwhelmed. But his thought process, which was overwhelmed by the thoughts of the prostitute, made him do the action. That's why we have to watch our thoughts. Thoughts may come. Thoughts will always come. What is the nature of the mind? To think. Having thoughts in mind is not unnatural. In the earlier ages, even having thoughts in the mind, not conducive to Krishna consciousness, was considered against the living entity. Whatever if you think wrong, then you will get reaction of that. In previous ages. But we are very fortunate in this age. Otherwise, we have to constantly dwell in hell only. So many thoughts are coming in the mind. So many thoughts, you know. Thoughts are completely uncontrolled. So when these thoughts are not watched and not allowed to further multiply, then they will turn into, we don't watch them, then they become action. And even actions we don't control, then they become habit. Habits are very difficult to break. Very difficult. That's why we say that we can't teach old dog new tricks. Because he is so much conditioned and habituated to his actions. We can't tell him new tricks. That's why America is saying, catch them young. When they are young, they are flexible, they are moldable, they can change. Not much time has been spent into these activities. Little time is spent. Long time to come, so we can mold. And when habits we don't watch, then becomes our character. And character is very difficult to change. It goes lifetimes together, one after another. So he could not check his thoughts. So it resulted in action. He went and brought the prostitute at home, got married with her. He didn't stop there, he kicked his wife away. He didn't stop there. He begat so many children, one after another. Into the womb of the prostitute. Prostitute was well knowing this guy is nonsense actually. But she was not bothered about it. It is said that he became so sinful that he couldn't actually maintain the prostitute in a given situation. So he had to rob, he had to cheat, he had to do all kinds of activities to fulfill the demands of the prostitute. And then he became a drunkard, he became a womanizer, gambler. He had to gamble because so much money is not easily available. When someone gets lot of money all of a sudden, you have to know that this is not normal means. someone who is, one doesn't get huge chunk of money. It has to be something ulterior. So to satisfy such demands of prostitute, he couldn't normally earn money and normally, that you can do with your wife, you know, with normal income you can satisfy her. She's a chaste wife. Prostitute married with you is very dangerous. By the way, anyone knows what is currently prostitute in our lives? Anyone can guess? Prostitutes staying in our home, day-to-day life. Television. Television is a prostitute purchased in the market, brought in the house, kept in right in front of you. It exploits every good quality from you. It pollutes everything that should not be there, it pollutes you with that. And when this prostitute is at home, even it's switched off, still you can't keep peaceful. It has to be put on. If it is at home, it has to be put on. That is why we are strictly told that no television at home. If at all we have television screen, it should be only VCR operated, whatever, what do you call that today, I don't know. DVD operated, sorry. Only that, so your own stuff can be played on that. A big screen, that's all right. But not cricket match, you know. Not some movie dances and movies and everything. It just cannot keep you uncontaminated if it is connected with the cable of outside world. It is said that British ruled India for 150 years and they robbed everything of ours. They robbed our culture, even they robbed our clothes also and gave their clothes to wear, which were minimal. But what British could not do in 150 years, America did in 20 years. They completely robbed us of everything. Through what? Television. You go to Barsana, you go to remotest villages of Braj. There is no electricity, there is no water, but there is a dish antenna and there is a television. And there, girls and boys are wearing Bermudas and half sleeveless t-shirts. This is television. If that television was used to spread Krishna consciousness, then imagine what power that facility has. But it is used to spread the Western culture, which degrades oneself completely. So the Brajvasis were born in Braj, the most fortunate souls, blessed with the full opportunity of being Krishna conscious right from the day one, moment one of their life. But they are bringing up, they are brought up into this culture. And they say, what is there in the Braj? You should go to Bombay. You are very lucky people, you are staying in Bombay. Take us to Bombay. This is what happens. So, I read in one place that he begat 9 children and 10th time the prostitute was pregnant also. And at that time, Mr. Ajamil was 80 years old. At the age of 80, he begot the 10th child in the womb of his prostitute wife. And that time the prostitute somehow came across a saintly personality. And saintly personality inquired from the prostitute about background and she explained everything honestly. So saintly personality said that when the boy will be born, you keep his name Narayan. Thus, when the 10th boy was born, his name was kept as Narayan. And Jamil was 80 years old. Boy was just toddler, just crawling. He was very attached to him. Very, so much attached to him that every now and then he would just keep calling him, keep calling him, keep calling him, keep calling him. And time came of the inevitable situation in our life, that is death. Who can escape the pangs of death? However beautiful yogasana you do, how beautiful pranayams you do, stand upside down, put all the blood in your brain regularly, not allow the face to wrinkle, take all ginseng and all the things, walk around every day. But who can save himself from death? Death is inevitable. So death came, and we also teach in our end of life care in our hospital in the spiritual care subject, that the living entity is horrified by a video of his own life. Because you may not remember that at age of 5, I took a pinprick and I pricked all the ants on the wall, going one after another. So if somebody says, you did this at age of 5, he said, no, I don't did it. I don't know when I did it. So to make you remember every good thing and bad thing that you did, you are shown a flash of video of whole life in few seconds. Not normal time video, it's a fast track video. And you are given such a facility that in few seconds you see whole life of yours and remember everything, and you can argue because there is no lawyer in the court of Yamraj. There are no advocates over there. You can't, you know, manipulate data and present in different way and in a very different influential way and influence the mind of the judge and make the verdict as per your thing, you bribe the judge, it's nothing like that out there. You are only informed about what is happening to you, what you have done, and straight judgment is given and you are out. There is no discussion there. So that's why the video issue. So the living entity is in great anxiety just at the moment of death. By just the revelation comes, whatever I have done in life, you know. Because we peacefully forget what bad things we have done. So Ajamil definitely must have seen all the things that is happening to him. And at the same time, he struggled to survive also. Nobody wants to die, so he wants to still try to survive, do something to survive. At the same time, whatever is the most prominent activity that you have done haunts you at the moment of death. Whatever we are attached to, wherever you have put your mind, your heart, and you have loved that thing haunts you at the moment of death. So, some total of consciousness that you have cultivated in your whole lifetime, that prevails at the moment of death. So if you are haunted by sex, sex will haunt you at the moment of death. If you have constantly thought of money whole life, thought of money will haunt you. If you constantly think of Krishna whole life, practice Krishna consciousness, that will become a prevalent thought in your mind. And last but not the least, if you have not enough Krishna consciousness, if you have not cultivated Krishna consciousness enough, then many friends will come to meet you from the court of Yamaraj. They are called Yamadutas, the messengers of death. It is said the most courageous man on earth, most chivalrous man, he passes urine and stool when he looks at them. They are so horrible, so ghastly, so terrified, you know. So much one becomes fearful. And in our medical practice we have seen so many patients, they will say, they have come. You know, they always say Marathi, Gujarati, Malayali, Tamil language, they have come. And who are they? Many people also are told, you please sit here. As long as you are here, they don't come. When you go, they come. And we are laughing now also. But that person cannot laugh. He is simply trembling. And he holds on to everybody, so-called devotees around him. Please don't leave. When you go, they come. Seeing them is horror, literally. So Ajamil was suddenly stumped with the situation. Four people came to him, pounding upon him, dragging his soul out of his body. You know how painful it is? Somebody who tries to strip you suddenly on the road. How painful it is emotionally for you. It's not physically painful. But when the soul is dragged out of body, it is ultimately painful. It is explained that something like 40,000 poisonous snakes, if they bite you at once, how much pain can be expected? There is no unit of measurement. Why we can measure so many units of pain will be there? We can't do that. So much of pain is there when the soul is being dragged. The very body that we have been staying, we were attached to, we have been doing activities through, we have been the source of our energy and activities and facility for us to enjoy, that very facility is being dragged, being destroyed in front of your eyes. So painful, physically also and emotionally also. So these four ghastly personalities started dragging his soul out of his body. And suddenly he remembered Narayan, not the Lord. is that? Because couple of months ago maybe, or maybe a year ago, full time he was only calling Narayan, 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 Narayan. All time he was calling the baby, playing with him, so attached to him. So, we cannot say that I have chanted Hare Krishna for 79 years of life. In the last year I was playing with toys, children. Whatever you do, it's definitely helpful, whatever we do, we never get lost. But what overwhelms you is what you have done in the latest history. So somehow, in the latest history, he was attached to his small, youngest child, 10th child, begotten from the prostitute. And he was habituated to constantly call him, constantly call him, constantly call him. Suddenly he didn't think that the child will save him, but it was a habit for him. He suddenly called Narayan. And there came four effulgent personalities. Very beautiful looking, very shining, wearing crowns and Shankha Chakra Padma Gada, wearing yellow garments and very blissful looking people just came there. And they stopped these four ghastly looking beings, Yamdutas. So you cannot take this one. He has taken the name of Narayan. Wrong address you have come, go somewhere else. No, our address is right. We have come to the right place. But somehow, long discussion, argument took place between the two parties, and the party of Vishnu Dutas won over the party of Yamdutas. They defeated them, and they chased them away. Because they said that he has uttered the name of Narayan. It is explained that Ajamil was in Namabhas stage at that time. He had no offense in mind. So totally offenseless. And he was also helpless. That is why when he called Narayan, immediately Vishnu Dutas came. We also are calling. Many people are calling, but they don't seem to be coming. Because we are still attempting in our conditioned stage, in our mixed stage, in our sinful stage. But Ajamil was in Namabha stage. So instantly it is said that he got completely purified. And Vishnu Dutas came and defeated Yamdutas and they went away. Yamdutas were completely bewildered. How can this happen? Up till now, in our whole career, it would have never happened that we went somewhere and we were asked to leave. They were so proud that wherever they go, they become victorious. They are the people who haunt the situation, who wear the situation, control the situation, do whatever they want, and they come back. Everybody is fearful and trembling in front of them. What an experience. The first time they saw that, somebody is coming and defeating us, overwhelming us. We are apparently put to helpless condition, rendered helpless. They went in deep frustration to Yamraj, to their master, and asked, what is this all about? Yamraj said that, Yamraj told them that you have no business to go in close vicinity where the Lord's name is chanted. Nothing to do. Because Lord Vishnu, with his club and chakra, revolves around that person constantly who chants the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I also have no role to play in the lives of those people who chant Hare Krishna, the holy name of the Lord. So please understand, here onwards, never ever go near to that place wherever the holy name is being chanted. Not only the person, but the place also, because the place becomes completely in the field, the spiritual field of the holy name. Wherever we chant the holy name, lot of spiritual energy is generated. And spiritual energy is not destroyed by any material powers. So it becomes eternal. It remains in space, avkash. That is why even today, rains are falling. Some crops are coming from the ground and still fruits and flowers are coming from trees. Because so many devotees in the world, although they are in much, much, much minority compared to the non-materialistic people, still by the dint of their sincere chanting, even if it is mixed desire, even if it is not pure, but still chanting is chanting. Because of that, still the earth and still the people in the world are getting some crops and something to eat. Time will come that this also will be finished. So there is spiritual energy is created by the chanting of the holy name, and whoever takes part in the atmosphere, he also gets benefited. You must be amazed to know that when a Rath Yatra is performed on any road, there are so many people who are sinful on the road. In America, you walk on the road, only smell that comes is of cigarette smoke and of meat. Just you get out of any building, what you get first smell is meat, and second thing you get smoke, because everybody is smoking, right? From children to mother, woman, and animal, I mean, sorry. Men, women, children, old, young, everybody is smoking. Everyone. I was just in the park in the UK, I saw a family came, there was a very old lady, then there was a middle-aged lady, and there were two young girls, and there were two toddlers. And the old lady lit a cigarette, and she smoked, and she gave to her daughter, she smoked, and then she gave to her daughters, two young daughters, 12, 13 years old, they also smoked, then the mother took, then the grandma took, again they kept on smoking. That means there is no, not even a thought that this is not good. It's just a normal activity. It's like eating sandwich, you know. The grandma eats, the mother eats, and the grandchildren also eat. There's nothing like that. It's like that. So, when Rath Yatra goes in such situations also, it is said that Rath Yatra may go once in a year from that road. But then, devotees chant the holy name of the Lord. And when Rath Yatra gets over, and everything is finished, and all the routine activity starts, the cars are going, trucks are going, everybody is going, whoever comes on that road, by any chance, whatever for whatever purpose, he gets benefited by the aura of the holy name, which was chanted once in a year there. That is the benefit of Rath Yatra or Harinam Sankirtan that we hold in the Hare Krishna movement. It's not just an activity, oh, everybody devotees are bored, now let's go and chant Hare Krishna on the road. No, it is distribution of the holy name, Nama Vidarana Seva. When that occurs, that area becomes completely surcharged with spiritual energy. Invisible to our mortal eyes, but spiritually it is available there. Whoever comes on that road gets touched and gets influenced unknowingly, Nagya Sukruti, by the power of the Holy Name. So Yamdutas were told not even go in the vicinity of the Holy Name. That's why it's essential for us to always chant the Holy Name. We want to keep Yamdutas away. Chant Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, throughout our life we have to practice this, throughout our life, so that it becomes a habit. We don't watch these thoughts, we are only supposed to watch sinful thoughts. And Krishna, when this thought comes, let it go unchecked. Let it become an action, let it become a habit, let it become your character. Let Hare Krishna become your character. Let people tease you with Hare Krishna. No problem. That is the greatest protection for you. You shouldn't get worried when our long shikha, somebody is teasing you, looking at that. In India, they tease, you know. Because Brahminical culture is not respected nowadays. So they see our long shikha, they tease us. They look at our tilak, they ask, they look in a sarcastic way, they inquire from me, what is this you are doing? Like that. What kind of bed suit you are wearing? So everything that you do, people may ridicule. But let that become your character boldly. Should not become ashamed of. Unless you are prohibited in your working place to do that. That is alright. But in generally, should not become ashamed of your Krishna conscious appearance, lifestyle, thought process and everything. But that character will save you from Yamdutas. People may laugh at you. But they will not laugh in the end of their life. Everybody will cry. Pass urine and stool in their pants. And you will go victoriously at that time. Because you have cultivated Krishna consciousness all throughout your life, made it, it is said that we should make Krishna consciousness breath of our life. Krishna consciousness should become breath of our life. It should go to that level. Not only body, not only mind, not only emotions. Every breath should become Krishna conscious. Such a personality is worshipped by demigods headed by Brahma. Chant the holy name of the Lord. When you begin chanting the holy name of the Lord, Brahma starts collecting paraphernalia of worship. Why? Because he knows one day he will go back to Godhead and he will go by my abode. So while he is going by my abode to Golok Vrindavan, I want to worship him. That is given in the glory of the holy name. No sin can stand in front of the holy name. Even at the best capacity, the best demon in the whole universe can commit sinful activities. The holy name can destroy sins much more than that. What a worst man in the world can imagine to commit at the best of his capacity. So much power is there. Collectively, all of us cannot commit so many sinful activities. More than that, the holy name can destroy. And plus, the holy name doesn't only destroy the sinful reactions. It destroys sinful tendencies, proclivity, and it destroys the seed of the sinful desire also. There is no procedure in the whole creation anywhere in Vedas. No dana punya, no tirtha yatra, no nadisna, nothing else, no karma kanda, no jnana kanda, no virati. Nothing can destroy papa bija, except the holy name, except pure devotional service. Holy name, of course, is a part of pure devotional service. The process of pure devotional service is the only process which destroys bija from its root and establishes Krishna bija in the place of papa bija, papa icha bija, and saves the living entity from the greatest of all dangers in life, falling into maya in forgetfulness of Krishna. So when Yamdutas were chased away, relieved so much was Ajamil. You can imagine Ajamil's position. Ajamil is like this. They are arguing, he's watching. If they win, I go. If this they win, I get saved. If they win, I go to hell. If they win, it's like, you can imagine. He's like totally, completely bewildered. Total fear, trembling, watching. It's like when Hiranyakashipu and Varahadeva was fighting, all the demigods were trembling. If he wins, then we are destroyed. If God wins, fine. If he wins, they were hiding in behind the clouds, you know, but they were not sure who's going to win. So, you can imagine, Ajamil was right there witnessing this horrible situation. And fortunate for him, the Vashnudutas defeated the Yamdutas. Such a relief. He got another chance. He realized what a nonsense rascal he was. He destroyed all the culture given by his parents. He chased away his chaste wife who was so cultured and Krishna conscious. He invited prostitute, he begged children in them. He lost all his culture, he broke all the regulative principles, destroyed himself completely. He was so repentful. He gave up everything. He gave up the prostitute. Brought his chaste wife back. And started worshipping Sri Krishna in the most pure way in his life. Ajamil was fortunate. He was given a second chance. You and me may not get second chance. He was very fortunate. And he used that. Second chance is now for us. The time when we are offered Krishna consciousness, that is second chance for us. A chance to give up sinful life and adopt Krishna conscious life, so that we don't make mistake again and again, get lost into sufferings of life. And then again came time when Ajamil was about to die. And because that time he was fully Krishna conscious, fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, those ghastly four guys didn't come. Only four beautiful people who came before came again. And this time they came with an aeroplane, celestial Vaikuntha aeroplane. And Ajamil was not dragged. He was very graciously transformed into a spiritual body. And he was welcomed with so much of grace, with music, with celestial sounds, with conscience, with bells, welcoming sound. He was welcomed on the plane and he was taken back home, back to Godhead. So, this is the power of the holy name. That unknowingly chanted, not addressed to Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the name was chanted. Even then he was saved. What to speak of consciously chanting? Later on he chanted consciously the name of Lord. And that is why aeroplane came for him to go back to Godhead. So many things to learn This story comes in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, telling us the glory of the holy name, that how much powerful, and please do not think that the holy name is powerful only in Kali Yuga. Holy name is as powerful in Satya Yuga, in Treta Yuga, in Dwapar Yuga, and in Kali Yuga also. Only the Kali Yuga, everything else becomes less prominent and holy name becomes most prominent. We know the story of Lord Ramchandra building the bridge. At that time also they were chanting, writing Ram's name on the rock, and the rock was floating. So many stories are there though. Glories of the holy name, Hanumanji and Lord Ramchandra in the Ramayana. So everywhere, in every time, in every eternal time, whether it is material world or spiritual world, whether it is Satya Yuga or Treta Yuga or any other yuga, holy name is always prominently powerful. No one thing can destroy our inauspicious life as much as holy name of the Lord. And that's why they say, Prabhupada always would say, even a drunkard teases you by repeating the names that you are chanting, even he gets freed from all the sinful activities and his spiritual life begins. Even if some person most sinful, even if it falls on his ear sometimes, even he gets delivered. So we have to have faith that knowingly, unknowingly, or directly, indirectly, we should introduce everybody to the holy name of the Lord. But before that, we must learn to immerse ourselves in the holy name of the Lord. There is no gift better than the holy name which can be achieved in this lifetime. No better gift is there in life than the holy name. The holy name is the ultimate gift of the Lord. It is a result of all the pious activities performed in millions of previous lives. Your Dana Punya, your Tirtha Yatra, your Karma Kanda, your Agnihotra, your scriptural understanding, reading. The result of all these things is achieving holy name in this lifetime. And then after doing all these things in the past life and getting qualified to receive the holy name in this lifetime, we are looking here and there when we chant the holy name. Because we do not understand the value. The monkey is given a diamond in the hand. You will just see by putting in the teeth and see whether there is anything eatable in that. I'll throw it away. There were some women, you know, they were given the, what is it called as, Chintamani. And some ladies were using it to wash the clothes at the banks of Govindpur. Then some boys were playing it as a ball. So, the holy name is given to us. But we may not still understand the value of the holy name. And we just squander it here and there. Not take it very seriously. The holy name, however we speak about it, is less. Because it will help us to understand the value of the holy name in our life. What a great glory that we have holy name with us. The greatest of savior of all the miserable conditions of life, lifetimes after lifetimes, the only one thing that surely will save us is the holy name. There was a yogi and Radhana Swami in Himalayas. One time he was on the Himalayan Yatra, so he met that yogi. And they discussed for a long time. Radhana Swami also had performed yoga in Himalayas for some time. So somehow they were on one subject. This was near to both of them. And the yogi talked about so many procedures, yogi kriyas and pranayam and turiya avastha and varkaya pravesha, so many things are there, you know, in yogic sciences. And then they discussed everything and then they got in the jeep and they were coming down Himalayas, you know, while coming down everything is down slope, you know, it's very dangerous actually in one sense. So after coming in the jeep and driving for a long time, the driver came to understanding that brakes have failed and you are on downswing, downwards. And the car was going, it was so difficult time for him to just maneuver the car, he was trying to do clutch here and there, but the car was going like anything. At that time, Radhana Swami peacefully asked him, which asana will help you now? Whether upside down or sideways or viprit karni asanas or sitting asanas or lying down asanas or which yoga, which yogi kriya, which pranayam, which turiya avastha will help you. Only holy name can help you. So what is the meaning of holy name? Holy name can be chanted at any age. That means infant can chant, or of course anyone, dogs can chant. Old man can chant, there is no age bar. There is no sexual difference, gender difference. A sick man can chant and a healthy man can chant. A beautiful man can chant and an ugly man can chant. A beautiful woman can chant and an ugly woman can chant. A black woman can chant and a white woman can chant. Indian woman can chant and foreign woman can chant. There is no difference of nationality, caste, creed, language, race, gender, education. Highly educated person can chant and the most illiterate can chant. In India you can chant, abroad you can chant. Near the gutter you can chant, in the palace you can chant. Near the ocean you can chant, near the river you can chant. There is no place barrier also. There is no barrier in fact. In all the possible, considerable, diverse situations, the holy name can be chanted. Yoga there is restriction. In yoga when you do, you have to be fully rested. You have to know what to do. You have to have a good teacher. And you have to learn. Dana punya also you have to have money in pocket. You have to have tirthayatra, you have to know where to go. It's very dangerous also. People have died in Uttaranchal, attempting to do tirthayatra. But holy name, in the greatest of dangers, it can save you. All those people who were in Uttaranchal, who died in numbers of thousands and thousands and thousands, whoever has remembered the holy name, from their strength they have gone back to Godhead. And whoever has remembered anything else but holy name, their money, their property, their family downstairs on the earth in India, they must have gone wherever they have to go. So Lord's arrangement is perfect. Ramakrishna Maharaj passed away in a car crash. But for pure devotees who are completely immersed in the thoughts of Krishna, whether they die of cancer like Bhakti Prasad Swami, or they die of car crash like Ramakrishna Swami, or they die in Bhaktivedanta hospital, in amongst chanting of the holy names, while devotees were like Mahavishnu Swami, it doesn't make a difference because they are always thinking of Krishna. So, no matter you are in very costly conditions, good conditions or bad conditions, holy name will always, it's such a medicine, it's like, you know, in our medical science also, some medicines don't work in all conditions. You have to see the condition and then you will give the medicines. But this is one medicine, the holy name, can work in all conditions. That is why it's called in our terminology panacea cure. It applies to every situation. That is the holy name. Only thing what lacks is our taking shelter of the holy name. Our valuing the holy name. Our offering our life to the process of chanting of the holy name. That is what is only missing in our life. If we give our life to the process which Prabhupada has given, Prabhupada has done such a wonderful thing that is, he has given a process. And even if he has passed away and he has gone back to Godhead 40 years back, still the process is working. And what he could do in his lifetime, three times more things have been achieved after he has passed away. Because he has given the process of chanting of the holy name to all of us. This process is very simple. Chanting the holy name, dancing and feasting. This is the only process, nothing else is there. Only thing is, everything of these three processes we have to do from heart. You can eat prasadam, appreciating that this is offered to Krishna and honored by Krishna. Sri Krishna Madaram ki, Sri Radha Bharineshwar ki, Go Nithai ki, Narsingh Bhagavan ki. What is important is chanting to be done by at the level of heart, dancing heartfully as sacrifice to the Lord, and eating prasadam with full consciousness of the Lord. Very important. Now one more point we will discuss before leaving is that Neham Vikram Nashosti Pratyabhayana Vidyati Svalpam Apyasa Dharmasya Prayate Mahodobaya. Whatever one does in his life, in spiritual life, to service to Krishna or in the holy name of the Lord, can never go waste. Ajami led a very sinful life for a long time, but he could revive his spirituality very easily because of his previous training given by his parents. So, every parent must understand that they have to train their children in Krishna consciousness. Somebody asked me that, now As they become young, they don't want to do Krishna consciousness. You just create a very strong Krishna conscious atmosphere at home, very exemplary atmosphere at home. You become yourself an example of Krishna consciousness, and that atmosphere give to your children. They wander about the world, and finally they will come back to the same situation. The adolescent age is there, it's a very volatile age. They want to explore everything in the world, and why not this, why not that, why only this? But when they taste all these things, because the culture at home given by the parents is so strong, it brings them back to the roots of Krishna consciousness. So although at childhood, Ajamil was a very good devotee when he was small. Large part of his married life also was a good devotee. And long time he got spoiled. But it was not difficult for him to pick up Krishna consciousness from wherever he left. So Krishna consciousness is never lost. Whatever you do is always in your Akshay account. Non-destructible account, always remains there. And is waiting from what level you left to start again. Even if we die, in the next life we start again from where we left. That's not true about material life. Material life, I'm a doctor. Next life I take birth and I say, I'm already a doctor last life. Let me get a job immediately. No, you have to go to first standard again. Play group and kindergarten and everything. Spiritual life, from where you left, from there you can start again. Spiritual life is eternal, non-destructible by the powers of material nature, by the powers of time. Independent of any material force is the spiritual life. So also the Holy Name. So all parents should remember that however the world is bewildering our child, whatever is happening with the child, our duty is to give them a very strong Krishna conscious atmosphere at home, which can be seen through all the senses by the child. The parents, the deities, the prasad, eating prasadam, the programs, the treating of the Vaishnavas at home as guests, and so many things that you do. Just exemplify. Give a proper, wholesome culture to the child. At least to go through, but not to participate. Some children are not participating. Fine. Give them. Once they have the taste of something which is sublime, it will remain with them and it will save them from the greatest danger when they are put to that danger. It will come back to their rescue. So great lessons about parenthood is there in this pastime. And what time it came to rescue for Ajamil? At the age of 80, when his parents were not living that time. But the culture that they gave, spiritual culture, being eternal, was with him there. All the rudimentary behind, it was there. He could pick up on the spot from that. So we may also pass away. But the culture that you have given to your children will remain. And will help them even after you pass away. So let us give our children very strong Krishna conscious culture. And the most important part of this culture is not just external activity, is the behavior. The wisdom of behavior. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Haridas Thakur, that some devotees are very good in scriptures, but not good in behavior. Some devotees are very good in behavior, but not adept in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But oh Haridas, you are the ornament of all the Vaishnava community, because not only you are fully adept in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, your behavior is so ideal and inspiring. It's a rare combination. Philosophy and behavior perfectly matching in your personality. That's why you are like a beautiful, dazzling ornament on the community of Vaishnavas. This is how we glorify Haridas Thakur. Outside people, when you meet, what does impress them? That you chant 16 rounds at home? It doesn't impress them. It doesn't concern them. What impresses them is your behavior. How you conduct yourself. What is your character? How you behave. How honest you are. How sincere you are. How hardworking you are. How gentle you are in your behavior. How eager you are to serve. How kind you are. How compassionate, caring you are. How tolerant you are. How grateful you are. Is what immediately impresses people. Because behavior, Krishna conscious behavior, is the culmination of all your Krishna conscious practices that manifest through your behavior. And that's how people say, Are you people are chanting Hare Krishna? See how uncontrolled you are. Why are you so angry? In the train sometimes a devotee gets into fight with some outside person and they both become very angry and then they pass by and onlookers come and say, Hare, you are a devotee now, why are you getting so angry? He is not a devotee, he is okay, he is fine. But you are a devotee, you look like a devotee, you are putting this tilak, you are putting kanti mala, look like chanting Hare Krishna. Why are you so uncontrolled in anger? You control your anger. So what do they expect from you is that as a devotee you are supposed to be well controlled and tolerant and patient and grateful and gentle and kind. That impresses people. By one time one devotee parents were going in the train. The child was crying and crying and crying and crying like anything. And 3 to 4 hours from Pune to Bombay the child was crying and crying and crying. And the parents were very coolly handling the child. Very coolly, undisturbed. At the end of the journey, the co-passengers came and told the parents, you people are simply great, you know, I'm watching you for the last 4 hours. And you know, how tolerant and patient you are, nothing happened. You are so cool and so undisturbed. You must be great devotees of the Lord. And you are not spoken to them. You are just handling, the parents are really happily handling their own child. But when you behave in a particular way, it does impress people. And when this Krishna conscious character is exhibited in front of people, it has its own effect, even though unknown what the effect is like and what it is all about. They may not know the details about it. But spirituality being innate in every living entity, your spiritual behavior has to affect another spiritual entity. That is all living beings, actually. The love that the spiritual personality exhibits through his behavior. So we all have to try to practice Krishna consciousness in such a way that it culminates down to the level of behavior. And thus, Saint Francis of Assisi, the great saint in the past in Christianity, said that one must preach 24 hours a day. That is his statement. One must preach 24 hours a day and speak when necessary. What does that mean? We think that preaching means you have to keep on speaking. Keep on giving a saman, keep on giving upadesh, keep on giving a lecture. That is not preaching. Most of the preaching is through behavior, is through example. Even in our management language we are taught that communication, only 7% is verbal. And more than 80% is non-verbal through behavior, through body language. How you keep your body, how you use your body. So much communication is done through behavior. And very less is done, only 7% is through verbal communication. Imagine the power of behavior. So, we should preach 24 hours and speak only when necessary. And it needs to open your mouth, you open your mouth. Most of the times, your being, your existence is preaching. This is the power of the process of Krishna consciousness which Prabhupada gives. So thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Are there any questions? Anybody has any comments? Opinions? There are many points but we couldn't tap on every point. But time also is important. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Naam Sankirtan Ki
Jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Yeah.
It is said that if you hear the pastime of Ajamil as described to Srimad Bhagavatam very attentively, you will be freed from all sinful activities and reactions and you can enter Golok Vrindavan.